Welcome into episode 116 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the Growing KSR Podcast Network. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio, joined by the one, the only, Zach Gagan of Kentucky Sports Radio. Zach, it's been a minute. How are you?
Fantastic. Glad to be here, as always. It's always a pleasure to step into the Sources Say room every now and again.
Love it. Love it. Have things been happening in the world of Kentucky basketball recruiting? Is there anything to talk about right now?
I think Patrick Patterson commits soon.
Ooh, what about Jay Lucas?
Yeah, I heard he's actually in Texas right now.
Ooh.
Or was, you know. Patrick Patterson's about to be in Portland. I don't know if you saw that.
He is. He is. He is signing a training camp deal. So, Zach, it has been a whirlwind of a last couple weeks with Kentucky basketball recruiting, headlined by the addition, the absolutely monstrous addition of Shaedon Sharpe, the number one prospect in the class of 2022. One of your personal favorites. I know that you were very high on him one of the first times we saw him together at that Midwest Mania event up in Indianapolis with Made Hoops. I know that you were a big fan of him back then, and I bet you are even more of a fan of him now that he is officially a Kentucky Wildcat. We didn't get to talk to you about your thoughts on his game and you know, kind of what he brings to the table and what his commitment means. So real quickly, before we get into the, you know, the latest and greatest nitty gritty of recruiting, I want your thoughts on Shaedon Sharpe. What do you think about his game, and what does his commitment mean to the program?
Well, first of all, that Midwest Mania thing, that feels like years ago. When was that? When did we go to that?
April? I think it was April.
Wow.
May, I think it was April, actually. Late April.
And that was kind of – the Shaedon Sharpe buzz really hadn't even exploded at that point even. That was still kind of, you know – I think he was still in like the 60s and 70s in most of the rankings. But, you know, obviously we got the first taste of the I don't know, whatever, the breakout, whatever you want to call it. But he's I don't think there's – I've said it before in articles. He's a guy you can build – the program around. You can build a whole team around him. He can play probably all two guard positions. He'll play the wings. He can, I don't know if he would be suited for any sort of small ball. He's probably a little too small for that, but he's big. He's, a lot of people say maybe a little bit of Malik Monk in him. I kind of see that a little bit. I think he could probably be a better shooter, or just more consistent general shooter and score from all areas of the court than Malik. But he's obviously the soon to be consensus number one player in the country, I'm sure. And perfect way to start, or really get this class rolling here over the next couple of weeks, maybe even less than weeks, with the other guys that are in line here. So Shaedon Sharpe, best player in the country. It was amazing that Cal was able to turn everything around, even though he said the other day where he was like, we've had the number one or two recruiting class every year. You have, but have you really? I mean, those classes were great to an extent. So this will be a real number one class when it's all said and done. But Shaedon Sharpe, he will be a top three pick in the NBA. He's about as, I think, as clear-cut a star as you can get at the next level.
I think that's the best way to put it, clear-cut star. I mean, I remember watching him at that event. Do you remember that one play? We were standing on the baseline, and he was bringing the ball up the floor. It was a one-on-one fast break, and he went up and was, I mean, he looked like he was floating in the air, which looked like he was going to, you know, shoulder tap his himself, and then absolutely take the soul out of the one defender, and just end his life, dunk all over him. And he cranked it back, and then, like, as the defender's kind of, like, bracing for impact, like, oh, God, please don't kill me, he, like, goes up and under and just has the softest little just beautiful layup at the rim. And we looked at each other. We were like, wow, that was one of the filthiest moves I've ever seen in my life. And, like, that – and then I think earlier in that game he had that baseline alley-oop dunk where – like, he just exploded out the gym, one hand, just absolutely cranked it back and slammed it in. And that was when, like you said, he was 60th in the country, I think, back then. So Kentucky offered him back in the last winter of 2020, when he was, like, barely top 100, I think, like, 86, 85-ish range. early spring when we got to see him, I think he had moved up to that 60-ish range. So when we saw him, he was just a mid-range four-star, a really not a high-level prospect, but like
Creighton bound.
Yeah, something like that. He had a Kentucky offer, and there was a lot of Kentucky buzz, but it kind of felt like Kentucky found a diamond in the rough type deal. Like they were hoping that they would kind of have the best kept secret in high school basketball. And then the secret got out rather quickly. He went to Peach Jam and decided to be the best player at Peach Jam, lead the event in scoring, top five in 3-point shooting, average almost, six rebounds a game, 3 assists per game, just absolutely torched all the competition. Everybody was in love with him. Number one prospect in the country, yada, yada. The story is written. And Kentucky ends up from start to finish as the favorite, lands his commitment, and he is now, Sky Clark is one thing. He's a fantastic player. He's going to be great at Kentucky. But this is the headliner of your class. This is the guy that you build the whole class around. He's the foundational piece. Absolute home run by the entire Kentucky coaching staff. Props to them. They killed it from start to finish. They absolutely deserve the tip of the cap there. But things aren't stopping anytime soon because. This week, we talked about it on the Shaedon Sharpe commitment episode, but things have ramped up even further since then with Chris Livingston. I think Kentucky is right on the cusp of landing a commitment from yet another top 10 prospect, ranked as high as top 5. I think he's ranked number 4 by One Recruiting Service. We're talking another consensus top 10 prospect in Chris Livingston. We'll talk about what's going on in his recruitment and all that. But real quickly, Zach, I'm curious, what do you like about Chris Livingston's game? And, what would his potential addition mean to the program?
Well, Chris Livingston, a.k.a. LeBron James Jr., Akron born and raised Chris Livingston, probably not quite the skill set as that of a LeBron James, but definitely better than that of a LeBron James Jr. Ooh. So maybe find that happy little medium there. But
one Chris hell Livingston of a medium.
Yeah, between the best player of all time and a 4-star. But he's good. And we kind of talked about it beforehand. One of the things that I can remember watching about him is he's a very good scorer. He can get to the rim. He's long, lanky. You kind of said stiff was one of your words for him. One of my things I remember is his handle wasn't as tight as it could be for someone who's 6'7" and wants to play the wing. So I think that's something that, if he hasn't already began addressing, that will need to be. But he's an excellent scorer. He can play a bunch of positions. I think you'll probably want to talk about it. But you mentioned he might be like maybe a small ball 4 type guy. I don't know if he'll be big enough for that. We'll see at this point. But I think he's definitely your prototypical NBA type wing. Guy who's big, long, can play both ends of the floor, score from all areas. So for him, it's just going to be a matter of, being consistent with it and putting it all together. And he's definitely got to be able to have a dribble because he's not going to be able to get past anybody, at least at the next level. Maybe in college, he'll be fine. But definitely a top 5 guy in this class, I think, and a guy that Kentucky would love, be lucky to have.
So here's the thing about John Calipari. He is the type of person that he is a very in-the-moment quote giver in terms of recruiting. He will not, and is not legally allowed to, address specific recruitments publicly when he's talking to the media, but he will give, he will give public phrases and kind of coach speak that directly aligns with things that are happening in the recruiting world. I remember very vividly, do you remember this as well, Zach? Jalen Green, right after Kentucky cut ties with him a couple years back, almost immediately afterward when he talked to the media talking about recruiting, he said, I refuse to be a hat on the table. That was like his big, like, whoa, pretty strong stance. Like days afterward said, I refuse to be a hat on the table. We will back out of recruitments if need be. And it was kind of like a, whoa, he flat out called out the Jalen Green recruitment and said that he refuses to be a hat on the table anymore. He's like, damn, that's pretty, substantial. This week, as momentum with Chris Livingston started building up, The one thing Cal went to twice in his press conference with the general media and then in his conversation with KSR, he brought up the fact that Kentucky is going to go four out, one in, but utilize almost a four-guard set on the perimeter and, you know, only have an anchor in the middle as a big, but really try to go guard heavy. And that directly aligns with Kentucky's pitch with Chris Livingston. They are saying, look, we know that you're athletic. You know, we know that you can attack the basket. We know you have guard skills, but we also have Sky Clark coming. Cason Wallace, things are looking fantastic with him. Gonna get him. Shaedon Sharpe's just committed. We want to play all of you guys at the same time. We don't want to sit any of you on the bench. Chris, you are 6'7", 220, strong as hell. You can play that position. You can create mismatches. You can be that small ball four. Trust us. We'll get you to that next level. Let us work with you on that front. And Cal went out of his way to say that twice, that Kentucky was going to try something new and that their offense was going to be more guard heavy, and that if you want to be on the perimeter and you want to be that four, you got to be able to put the ball on the floor. You got to be able to have guard skills. He started saying things like that. Trigger word after trigger word after trigger word, basically like, hey, this is the Chris Livingston pitch. Like, literally met with him, you know, hosted him for an official visit recently, talking to him consistently, building up that relationship, visiting him. You know, we'll talk about this in a second. Visited him at his school at Oak Hill, gearing up for a commitment. That is their, you know, closing pitch for him, and that was the thing they went public with. So Cal is very telling, and kind of he foreshadows quite well with things like that. And that's exactly what he did, talking about Chris Livingston. He is, like I said, he's stiff. He's a dude that doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle to his game. He's not the sexiest style of play. He's not going to have these, you know, acrobatic Vince Carter type finishes that you see Shaedon Sharpe have, or even a Cason Wallace or a Sky Clark. But he's going to be able to dunk on your head. He's strong as hell. He's going to be able to finish at the rim strong, and his shot is developing quite well. I mean, he's turned from a pretty bad shooter to quite a good one. So I think he would be a perfect fit for that small ball four role, and I think that's exactly what Kentucky's pitching. And I think that they want that five spot reserved for Derek Lively or a Dembona. They're going to get one of those two guys, but they want Chris to be that, you know, he'll play some three whenever they need, you know, Sky sits, or, you know, Shade needs a break, or Cason needs a break, whatever. They're going to, you know, be able to, they're so versatile. They're going to be able to, you know, create mismatches on that front as well. But that's their kind of overall pitch, what they're going for. As for his actual recruitment, Zach, this is something that has, I mean, talk about a recruitment that has just ramped up to 100, I mean, 0 to 100 so fast. I mean, just went from pro lock to Memphis lock to, you know, easing a little bit back to the pro route to 1000% Kentucky. I mean, just the dynamic shift of all this, and it really does feel like we have established a firm leader in this in Kentucky, and that it doesn't feel like anything's going to be changing anytime soon. So, you know, what are the things that you're reading behind the scenes and talking to people behind the scenes and the tea leaves of the one and only Chris Livingston recruitment?
I think the writing is on the wall with the confirmation of the October 9th second visit, and then Joe Tipton of On3 coming out pretty much right after that saying, actually, he had the second visit scoop after you did, I should say. You had that scoop first. But then he also added that Memphis just cut ties. So maybe Memphis is doing the whole, you know, don't want to be a hat on the table thing too, but it just looks like, you know, 6 days before you announce, is he even going to wait that long at this point? You know, Shaedon Sharpe kind of did the thing earlier where he came back for his second visit. A couple days later, he committed. So it's like deja vu. This just happened. So it's like, it just feels like it's going to happen again. At this point, I think the visit must have gone well. I don't know the in-person visit must have, I don't know what they must have said there, but it must have been one hell of a pitch from the whole squad there. I guess the trio of coaches they brought.
Well, that was kind of the thing. So
it just changed. It felt like that and that visit. That's where it all went.
the in-person recruiting date. So we haven't seen in-person recruiting. You know, we've seen in-person evaluation with Pete Sham and all, and, you know, in late spring, some of those events. But this is the first time that we've gotten in-person recruiting since COVID, since March of 2020. Coaches have not been able to leave their campuses and recruit in person. It's all been evaluation or virtual conversation. So the first day, Thursday morning, the first time that the Kentucky coaching staff was able to leave campus and go talk to kids in person, they sent three coaches to Oak Hill: John Calipari, Coach O, and Chin Coleman, who Chin Coleman is Chris's lead recruiter. So you have your two closers in Coach Cal and Coach O, and Chin as your, you know, his lead recruiter. You're talking about, you know, going for the kill, going for that final pitch, going for that, you know, that securing the deal all in. Let's get this kid locked up. That's exactly what they did. And you know, it's kind of funny watching the Memphis dynamic. You know, they've gotten this, for whatever reason, this just stroke of ego and confidence that, like, they're the greatest recruiters on the planet Earth, and that Penny Hardaway is John Wooden in the flesh, and Larry Brown isn't 95 years old, and Rasheed Wallace knows anything about NCAA rules or how to recruit or anything like that. They just think that it's going to be the greatest recruiting staff ever assembled, and that it's like the Avengers of college basketball recruiting, and that they're just like this flawless thing because they ended up landing. Yes, great win in Jalen Duren. Well done. You know, tip of the cap there. Amani Bates as well. Good for them. I question if that dynamic duo is going to be all that dynamic. I have my doubts. We've talked about those doubts and why recently, you know, on the show in the past. But two very solid recruiting wins, good for them. But the fact that there's this like, oh, we don't want the top, you know, this top five recruit that was very interested in me in before, but Coach Cal and, you know, the Kentucky staff came in and kind of changed his mind. And, you know, oh, we don't even want this kid anymore. It's like the Memphis insiders literally a month ago were saying that Chris Livingston was Memphis's number one, you know, recruiting target, that he was a must get, that they were far and away heavy favorite in his recruitment. And then he just magically becomes like this castaway afterthought in their, you know, recruiting tiers. It's like, it doesn't work that way. They didn't just fall out of love with him as a player. Like, they went all in on him, and it's like, it just doesn't work like that. Kentucky recruited their ass off. They won, and all signs are them, you know, all signs are pointing to them, you know, securing a commitment publicly. There's already some talk about things being done behind the scenes. I think Andrew Slater, who's the most connected person in basketball, I would argue, for my money, he is absolutely the best of the best. He publicly said, it's over, BBN, like, you know, lock and key, done deal.
Aiming for the kill.
And I will say, and I mentioned this before to you before we hit record, there's some talk with people close to him behind the scenes that they are pushing him to Kentucky, and that there's a lot of Kentucky pull in his corner. I know there's family ties, people that actually, you know, went to Kentucky and you know, were a part of the UK athletics family. So there's a long list of family ties. There's, you know, other people close to him that have very loud voices that they are also pushing him to Kentucky. He has liked the pitch. I think there was a little bit of a disconnect to start with of selling him on being, you know, not a guard. I think he's like, I'm a two, I'm going to play like a two. I think there was a little bit of a pushback on that front for a little while. But I think that once they told him, like, hey, this is our long-term idea, what we want to be at the end of the day, I think he fell for it and didn't fall for it. I mean, it's a great pitch. He was sold on the idea, and I think they recruited their asses off, and I think that it won out at the end of the day. And I think Kentucky fans are going to be prepared for good news sooner rather than later. He has a tentative commitment date scheduled for October 15th. I'll bet my bottom dollar we don't get to October 15th for a commitment, Zach.
Yeah, it sounds like the bag from FedEx ran a little dry after the last two deals came through, huh?
UPS got to, you know.
Yeah, they got to diversify, you know, get multiple donors, sponsors, whatever you want to call them, cheaters, or whatever.
Yeah, it's I do. It just kind of feels like we're in this. You know, you got Shaedon Sharpe. Sky Clark is recruiting his butt off. I mean, behind the scenes, Sky Clark is just he's just been phenomenal. I've talked to his, you know, people close to him, his dad especially. They're recruiting their asses off. They kind of have this dream class in their mind that they're going after, and it aligns with Kentucky's recruiting efforts and who they want. And it just feels like we are slowly combining and gearing up for this avalanche of good news. You already had Shaedon Sharpe. It feels like we're right on the cusp with Chris Livingston. I would bet that, well, I mean, I know he's taken his official on October 9th, but I've talked to people that know him personally that they don't think that I think the exact quote that he gave them was, I wouldn't be shocked if I move this process along a little bit faster. Like that he even acknowledged himself that he was going to move this thing along rather quickly. So October 9th feels like a long way away, and I do wish that official was – you know, September 17th or, you know, September, last weekend of September, something like that. But if we have to wait another month, whatever, barring a massive change of events, I mean, the most well-connected people in the business say it's Kentucky. Kentucky thinks it's Kentucky. All the other schools involved think it's Kentucky. There's a reason that Memphis is no longer involved. They think it's Kentucky. People close to a school think it's Kentucky. You name it, you go down the list. All signs are pointing to him ending up at Kentucky. Then today, like, that was a personal opinion about a week ago, 2 weeks ago for me. It has since turned into a all in effect of there's a general consensus that this kid has ended up in Lexington, and one hell of a third get for the class should that end up coming to fruition, Zach.
I might have to end up taking back my take about only getting three or four recruits, because it looks like we're about to get four at the minimum. And then You're looking at the five-man class as the ideal setup. And five of those, or all five of those guys would be top 15. So,
I mean,
that's a one way to make your statement that you're bad.
It's just, isn't that nutty to think that, like, we've been in such a, not even a rut, because, like, you know, Coach Cal even said that, like, I mean, yeah, we've been number one and number two. And he said, you know, the not all number one classes are created equal. Not all number two classes are created equal. And he even referred to this upcoming class. And this is very, again, he's very, listen to his words closely, because he's very telling with how he describes things. He said, we've been getting the number one and number two classes in the country every single year since I've been here, but some classes aren't like this one next year. So he's saying that this class of 2022 is special, and he knows that he already has a number one prospect locked up. He knows that he's in fantastic position for a top five kid in Chris Livingston. He knows that Cason Walls is another top 10 kid that they have all but locked up behind the scenes. They're just kind of, you know, crossing T's and dotting I's on that one. You know, the great position with Derek Lively, Adem Bona. He's a guy that UK could have if they really put in all their, you know, pushed all their chips in on him. They could absolutely get him. And then, you know, I think that's it. Like, I don't know who else you would even need if you get that. And for him to be so optimistic about the class as a whole and say that number one, if we ended up being number one in this next 2022 class, that number one would be more valuable than some of the other number ones that he's had in the past, or number twos or whatever, because this upcoming class is so strong. So he not only believes that he's going to have another top class, but he thinks they're damn good and worthy of that recruiting ranking. And that it feels like that Swaggy Cal is back, and that he's indirectly saying, we're in good shape. Stop worrying about us.
Yeah. And Shaedon Sharpe, he's a different number one recruit. It's not like he's not like a Scalabi Sierra. Like, maybe I'm having a little bit too much revisionist history syndrome here, or whatever you want to call it. But Shaedon Sharpe is the consensus number one, whereas Scal was kind of not necessarily the overall guy. Like, getting Shaedon Sharpe is like getting Nerlens Noel, where Nerlens Noel was the best player in Kentucky's team. you know, that team was obviously not very good, but the second he got hurt, you know, the season just went downhill from there. Like, Shaedon Sharpe is that kind of guy where he will come in and he will be the best player from day one, no matter who else is on the team. You know, even kind of going back to talking about the recruiting classes, even if they don't, you know, you don't need to add Adebayo Bona and Derek Lively because you have the transfer portal now. So go get the guy you want, who is Derek Lively. And as much as I like Adebayo Bona, you know, sorry, he can go and, you know, have the exact same type of career wherever he goes because it's going to be good. So go get Derek Lively, get your three guards and your one wing and play the transfer portal and that you're loaded.
Yeah. All of those guys could potentially be off the board by the signing period, by the early signing period. And at that point, the season begins and you get the full 2021-2022 season and you get to see, is Ty Washington as good as everybody thinks he is? Is Xavier Wheeler a one and done at Kentucky? Is Oscar Tshiebwe ready to take the next step? Is Damian Collins ready to produce from year one? Is Bryce Hopkins, you know, being underrated publicly and behind the scenes? Is Lance Ware, you know, ready to take a step up? You go down that list and you start kind of penciling in guys. Do we need to hit the transfer portal hard? Do we, if you have your core foundational pieces and they literally have a, they could potentially have an entire starting lineup worth of foundational pieces if things go as planned in the next, you know, couple of months. And then from there, all you have to worry about is, you know, replacing. You don't have to worry about, like, you know, mass additions, you know, because of a mass exodus or whatever. You already have your foundational pieces. Then if you have a surprise transfer, if you have a surprise draft entry, what, however it unfolds, you can then pick and choose who you want in the transfer portal and then go get the best of the best there. You can go get the best player in college basketball like they could have this past season. You know, you can go for those home runs because you don't have to worry about the Derek Livelys of the world. You don't have to worry about the other top end recruits if you can get them locked up in the early signing period. All of your focus goes on there. You're not recruiting the number one college basketball player and Jalen Duren and, you know, the other guys that are thinking about coming in as late signees. All your attention goes to the transfer portal if you need to. And I think that is the absolute perfect situation for Kentucky. If they get even four, if Derek Lively decides to wait till the spring, there's some talk that he is in no rush to make his decision. If they can get four, if they can get Chris Livingston signed and they can get Cason Wallace signed, it's about as much of a dream scenario as you could possibly ask for. I think that is the absolute home run. Give your props to Coach Cal and his staff because they're working their butts off behind the scenes and publicly. I mean, shoot, you're seeing all the reports. Coach Cal is going to visit DJ Wagner in you know, Camden, New Jersey, and you see somebody else going out west to go visit this guy, and you see Jay Lucas down south in, you know, Montverde going to see Sky Clark, and then he's also at, you know, they're dividing and conquering, but also coming together to close a deal on guys like Chris Livingston. They are working so tirelessly, and it's so refreshing to see this, like, oh, this was the Kentucky basketball we saw when John Calipari first arrived on campus. It feels like the old Kentucky is back. It just feels like that swagger is back. It's like Cal hit reset on the program, and it worked. All of the major you know, changes that he made this offseason, it feels like it was all worth it at the end of the day.
So it kind of makes you wonder, like, man, just what were Joel Justice and Tony Barr like? What were they doing? Like, was it just a bad string of years in a row, or was it just that big of a difference that, you know, it's just kind of, it's almost kind of shocking looking at it now, like that Cal would kind of let it go on for as long as it did with, you know, obviously the classes were still great, but this feels a little bit different. This even kind of feels different than even before, you know, even the early Cal years, because, you know, he'll get the big classes, but I feel like they usually don't come in a matter of, you know, every couple of weeks or however it is. So,
and I do think,
but I feel like I'm just rambling on at this point.
No, I do think that there was a bad string of luck with the professional route kind of becoming a big thing, and, you know, Cade Cunningham's brother being hired at Oklahoma State and Penny Hardaway kind of stealing away James Wiseman there at the end. And Jaden Hardy, I think that was a misfire on the staff's part, and I think that was a bit of a black eye there. I think that could have been finalized. But, you know, he could have left some college program at the altar on signing day as well. So that could have been would they have gotten a Ty Washington this year if they had signed Jaden Hardy early and not been able to fight off the G League at the end of the day? Could they have been screwed, late in the process because Jaden Hardy wanted to end up going pro at the end of the day? There's just a lot of, different dynamics and things that, like the butterfly effect is, if you go back and change this part of history, what does it do for the rest of the class type deal? It's tough. It was a bad thing. I think Joel did a hell of a job laying the foundation of things. I think that he developed great relationships early with kids. I had a great relationship with Joel. I have no, negative things to say about him, and he's a great dude. But I think it was about finishing and getting these kids actually on campus, and you can lay all the groundwork early and get in these, home run situations early. But if you can't swing the bat on signing day, what good does it do you? And I think that was kind of the, man, what the hell? Why can't we just finish the job? And it just feels like Coach O is a closer. And Chin Coleman, you've heard good things about him from, people at Illinois, that he's a closer. He is that kind of same thing. And, sometimes it just boils down to a fresh face and hitting reset on a program. Sometimes pitches get stale. Sometimes things get old. And I think sometimes, Coach Cal's pitch gets stale, and not every recruit wants to hear you're not going to get 25, 30 shots a game. You're not going to score 25 points a game. That pitch gets stale for some recruits. And I know that's the whole Kentucky's not for everybody thing, but it happens. And I think that recruiting is such an ebb and flow. It's such a back and forth dynamic where, sometimes pitches don't work for some era of kids and it works for other eras of kids. And sometimes, things don't work and they work for others. It's kind of just one of those things. And I think UK's brand got stale there for a while, and Coach Cal did what he had to do to kind of get that freshness back. And I think it's very clear, Zach, that we're fresh. We're fresh as a daisy.
Fresh as a daisy. That's a saying for sure.
Well, I think with that, we'll get the heck out of here, Zach. This was a lot of fun, and we'll definitely do this again rather quickly, especially as things ramp up. We're going to have to pump these episodes out one after the other. So we'll definitely get this done again quite soon. With that, let's get out of here, Zach. Where can fans find your work?
As always, they can find me on Twitter at ZGagan, KSR Gagan, the triple G, Jack. Let me just make it into a song. GEOGHEGAN.
Oh, lovely, beautiful song. And you can find me on Twitter at Jack Pilgrim KSR. Reach out to me via email at jpilgrim@kentuckysportsradio.com. With that, we'll be back next time for another jam-packed Sources Safe podcast.